Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Building a Digital Future. My name is Jimmy Clark. I am the founder of DDC Solutions. And along with DDC Solutions, I have a couple of other brands in relation to the construction markets. We're dealing with technical development and implementation of technology, process, solutions, support, training, all of that stuff that is related to construction, spanning everything from BIM, ISO 19650, digital construction, digitalization, through to surveying and actual project delivery. This podcast is not going to be about the business and what we are doing and buy my products. This is going to be from my personal insight and understanding and opinions in many cases on how I see the construction industry, what I think is important, why I get out of bed in the morning, and things that I think we should be focusing on collectively as an industry in terms of welfare for people, but also business and project delivery. My overall vision for everything that we do is kind of a vision that I've been having for many, many years, and something that I discovered over time when I was working in my different roles as technical architecture technicians and BIM manager and consultant and all that stuff. And what I saw back then was that what we did was quite self-serving. We supported clients, we supported people on projects and things like that, supported businesses, but it was very much, this is what we think that you should be doing, rather than looking at what's going on in the world of architecture, design, engineering, construction, and customizing everything to benefit those businesses and those projects and those people. And the solutions that we brought to the table for these projects with these people was very, very expensive, very complicated, very difficult to attain. So very specialist knowledge. And it still is specialist, but what I want to achieve now is to make this more commonly available and easy to understand for architects and engineers and the construction staff. So it doesn't have to be so hidden or so kind of, we are doing our things over here and you guys are doing things over there and we are coming in telling you what to do. It needs to be more unison with everyone as a team. And because the way that things still are very expensive and very complicated, it makes it very difficult for other organizations who might not have the insurance policies or the cash flow or the knowledge. It's very difficult to access this type of technology and process and understanding and workflow and training and support and all of that stuff, unless they have the money to throw at it. And that works okay in places like the UK or in London specifically, because there's more money flowing about here. Yeah. But if you take an architect practice in one of the emerging economies, they can't afford things like that. So they are stuck with cracked copies of AutoCAD and they can't really get on the efficiency bandwagon with the new technology, new process and new knowledge, because it's a money problem. So what we're trying to do here now with the whole organization is to develop products and solutions based on technology and based on process, and everything is underpinned by ISO 19650 and BIM and digital construction principles. So everything is kind of, the foundation is there, but the services and the product and the solutions that we're coming up with, we need to be able to scale those ones and apply those ones anywhere in the world at local economy requirements standard. So an architect in the Philippines can't afford to pay the same price as someone in London. Yeah. So we need to have the same service, same solution, same quality, but at local economy. So that's what we're working on as a whole in the organization while we're developing, like fine tuning certain things. But that's the mission, to be able to scale this out. And the reason for that is that the UK government have now started to push this agenda of exporting UK construction, you know, to emerging economy, because that's where the future and the money in the future is going to be. So UK wants to be part of that future, exporting construction. But that's not going to work out if the people in those emerging economies can't afford to utilize the technology and the knowledge that we bring with us. So we need to be able to go in there first and spread this, you know, and so construction come afterwards and saying, actually, now we're going to do the thing. And then we're going to get the benefits. Then we're going to, you know, reduce cost and reduce waste and reduce environmental impact, improve risk management and increase profit margins. That's the whole purpose of what we're doing. Traditionally, even when I started as an architectural technician, we printed drawings, we went to a meeting, we did some red line circles around design problems. We went back to the office, we put up drawings against the window with tape, and then put the other drawings on top of it against the window, and then we can see the differences between one drawing to the other drawing. Then we're working out where the changes needs to take place. Yeah. And then we started to do that with computers, so we can overlay drawings on screen. And, you know, eventually we could also run clash detections. So we can put one 3D model into a program, take the next 3D model into the program, and they're all set up and coordinated in some specific way. And then you can run a clash routine on those 3D models, and the computer tells us where we have the design issues. Then we can get those things out on a drawing, and then each design team goes away and they fix those issues for the next meeting. Okay, so the computers can do that now. And what does that mean? That one thing, you know, going from taping drawings onto the window to running clash detections on the computer, what does that mean? So forget BIM for a second, or forget digital transformation, or forget digitalization, forget everything. Let's just take that in isolation. That means that, keeping in mind what we're trying to achieve here, we're trying to reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce environmental impact, improve risk management, and increase profit margins. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do with everything. So if we can run clash detections instead of taping drawings onto the window, first of all, we're not printing paper. We can get more accurate information based on configurations of a software that's been set up by professionals, obviously. So we get more accurate information out of the 3D model than we do with a person looking at something taped up against the window, but it's a little bit blurry and difficult to see everything. Yeah. So the computer looks at everything that we ask it to look at. It's less risk to the project and to the businesses that we're missing something. Then we're looking at each element of construction and we're saying, okay, how can we make small improvements here and there to reduce cost and so on? And one of the big problems with transitioning from doing one thing into a new thing is the change management thing. We can fix technology relatively quickly, but it's the people who needs to adapt to this new way of working. So change management strategies is very, very important, and nurturing people in these environments is very important. That's something that I feel like IT and technology sector is often overlooking. They just do the technical stuff and then saying, here, the solution is done now. Now you, the people, need to go and deal with it. And that can then take years for an organization to adapt to this new way of working. So that also needs to be part of the things, because remember, we need to try to reduce risk, and change management is a huge risk to the organization. So if we are trying to revolutionize things too quickly, like we used to do with BIM level 2, where it was, you have to have BIM level 2, is all these different tick boxes you need to check, otherwise you're not going to be compliant. That's causing a massive change management issue and costing a lot of money, taking a lot of time, and increasing risk to the businesses and to the projects. Yeah. So instead, what we need to do is that we're looking at individual things and we're saying, okay, what's important for this person, this project, this business? Clash detection is one of those things, very, very beneficial. Yeah. And everyone agrees to that. So that's why it's kind of taking on. But then we need to say, okay, but how do we communicate now then? So if I'm the architect and I need to communicate with a structural engineer, how do we have that communication? How do we know that what I'm going to be producing is going to be relevant for the structural engineer at that specific time? Then we need to have specific documentation and specific way of sharing those documentations. And when we're sharing the files between each other, there need to be a way of sharing that so it's safe and cost effective and, you know, those things. So then we have cloud services to provide those facilities to sharing information. So now we're into the digital workflow of things suddenly. And we only talked about two things. We talked about clash detection and way of sharing data. And then to produce this data, we also need some new software and methodologies and standards to follow. And all of this is done online, on computers, and now more in some sort of cloud service environment. And that then becomes the digital thing. And rather than coming in and saying, we have to do digital construction, this big thing like BIM level 2 used to be. BIM level 2 used to be this big thing that we need to come in and dump onto the network and unpack the thing, and it's going to cost a lot of money and take a huge amount of time. Another thing, same thing is happening with digital construction. What is this thing? And we're going to come with digital construction and we're going to load it into the businesses, and it's going to cost a lot of money and it's going to be very time consuming and so on. But we need to strip all that fluff out and say, what is it that this organization needs? what is it that this architect needs, this architect that builds residential blocks? What's that organization need? Yeah. And then we're looking at what can we do in terms of that organization's workflow digitally? How can we improve that with technology and IT and digitalization and process and standards and so on? And then we do small adjustments depending on how many years experience they have with certain things. So we say, okay, let's say an architect have worked with Revit for 6 months. They're testing it out. Yeah. So they're very right in the beginning. So we know that these guys, they don't need accreditation right now. They just need the software to work. They don't need BIM level 2. They don't need ISO 19650 compliance. They don't need all these extra big thinking things. They need it eventually, and it's good if they have it in the background. But what they need is to print drawings and get those schedules out of the office. So how do we do that? Then we're looking at specific things for that specific organization in their specific position, and we're fixing those digital components, configuring the software, setting up a naming convention, fixing geo-coordination, small things, yeah. What that means is that we're now on the bandwagon of digital construction, definitely. We are reducing risk because we're not revolutionizing the business. We're reducing cost because we're not asking them to spend a lot of money on stuff that they don't need. We're increasing the profit margin because the things that they're doing now is going to be more effective on their projects. So, you know, depending on how they manage the business, there's a scope for increasing the profit margin here now. Yeah. And that is then, now suddenly we are in digital construction. And because we're not doing massive changes, change management requirement goes down and the risk of the business goes down because we're not trying to revolutionize anything. That is how I see digital construction. That's why it's so important to embrace the digital construction, but not from a point of the consultant coming in saying, here is digital construction, it's going to cost you 150K and this is what you have to do, otherwise your business is not going to survive. Yeah. What we need to do is saying, we have all these resources, we're going to do this little thing for you here because that's going to improve your workflow in a certain way, increase your profit margin just a little bit, reduce your risk a little bit. This is digital construction. And the resources we have set up is all underpinned by ISO 19650. So when we do this little tweak in this office, it's ISO 19650 compliant. So they become ISO 19650 compliant as an afterthought. It's not the main thing. The main thing is to get the drawings out. But now they're also ISO 19650 compliant without them even asking for it. And they didn't have to pay extra for that. To me, that is how the construction world needs to approach digital construction, looking at individual things and tweaking things that is specific for them with good resources that gives them that extra added value on the back end, not as a sales pitch, but as an added value on the back so they can use printed drawings. The real purpose of digital transformation is not about being BIM compliant. It's not about ISO 19650. It's not about Revit. It's not about clash detections. It's not about any of these kind of things. The real purpose is to the real purpose is to make money, okay? But that aside, there is an underlying issue that's going on, an issue that's driving construction. And I know what this sounds like when I'm saying it, you know, because I know that the underlying factor is to make money. And it doesn't have to be ugly, you know? It doesn't have to be self-serving. But to be honest, that's what people are trying to do, yeah. So this underlying issue then is that there's a global issue with environment. There is a global or a big issue worldwide with the areas of severe drought and water issues, yeah. And I don't have the exact numbers here now, but it's like millions of people who are going to move from one area with issues of drought to other areas, you know, relatively close by where there are no drought. And I'm kind of simplifying things a lot here, but that transition of people from different areas to new areas, those new areas where these people are migrating to, those areas are the new emerging economies. Colombia, Peru, Mexico, South Africa, the Philippines, and Vietnam are specific nations that's been targeted for being the next emerging economies. Okay, it has to do with population and, you know, number of children compared to all people. Loads of factors here, but drought is one of the factors. Yeah. So what's going to happen is that all these people are migrating, and they're migrating into regions of some poverty. So everyone is not coming to London or New York or Tokyo or whatever. They're coming to Colombia, Peru, Mexico, those type of nations. And those type of nations, they don't have as strong economy as the US and the UK and so on. Yeah. So that means that these nations are going to have to cope with that. But with more people comes more opportunities. So there's going to be more workforce. There's going to be more taxes paid. There's going to be more engineers and doctors and cleaners. There's going to be more people available to that economy. But these people needs to live somewhere. They need to send their kids to school. They need to socialize. They need to, you know, get married. They need to have their normal lives in this new environment that they're moving to. And this is where construction comes in. So construction is now there to enable the migration of people into these new regions so they have somewhere to live and work and pay taxes and so on. And this is where the UK government wants to develop UK construction as an export product. So exporting UK construction to emerging economies, that's the game plan. And here's where the money is coming in. Yeah. But the way I see it is that, okay, the money's coming, but we need to do something to help these people. And if we're putting ourselves in these people's position, they live somewhere where it's life might not be as good as it is in central London. And then they have to leave that, whatever they have to leave that because they can't live there anymore because their kids are suffering and they are suffering and, you know, families are dying, you know, catastrophe. Yeah? And they have to walk to the next region with whatever they can carry. And so construction aside and all this stuff, this is the reality. This is what's happening. And I feel like it's our duty and obligation to do whatever we can to support it, since we have the resources, since we have the knowledge. And how this is playing in is that, okay, there's going to be a construction boom in these regions. There's going to be money coming in. UK government is investing into the governments in these different nations. And that's all good. But from my experience, having gone through this change of digitalization in the UK construction, you know, starting from early 2000, where we did drawings up against the window, highlighting the design clashes or whatever, yeah, and then moving into having computers doing that type of work for us, you know, reducing cost and reducing risk and so on to the projects. I know that there is a massive learning curve for people to adopt to these new things. It might have been relatively easy compared to other people for me, because that's where my interest area is. This is what I'm happy to do and when I'm getting up in the morning. Yeah. But that's not easy for everyone. And everyone is not a BIM manager or some technical person. So it was really important in the UK to embrace the digitalization of construction, because for our businesses, we are trying to reduce cost, reduce waste, reduce environmental impact, improve risk management for the projects and the businesses, and increase profit margins. That's what we're doing. And that's what any business is doing. You know, an architect practice or a car dealership or a, you know, takeaway, they're all trying to do the same thing. Yeah. And what the industry as a whole have to do now, and specifically in the UK, the kind of driving this was to, okay, saying what technologies and processes and standards can we put into place to reduce cost and reduce waste and so on. And there was a driving factor from the government being the largest construction client, 50p of every pound invested. That was a driving factor for change. Yeah. And the digitization was seen as the solution to that change. And it's turned out to be true. So we're coming up with all these different ideas and testing things out, testing new ways of communicating, testing new ways of sharing files, testing cloud services, different types of software, different types of doing 3D modeling and so on. And it's working. And we have proof for that. We know that this is working. But it's very, very expensive to get to that point of proving that this system is working. Now, we have all this knowledge and there are incredible solutions available to speed up process of setting up and delivering projects in the UK and in London specifically. There's no chance for an architect in Colombia to do these kind of things. No chance, because they don't have the money to put into this investment for their business. And even if they do it in their business, it doesn't mean that the next business is doing it. And without the collaboration and the partnership and the teamwork on these projects, this is not going to work. So this is a collaborative effort to reduce cost and reduce waste for the projects and the businesses. Everyone has to be involved in the thing. And to expect or to think that an architect and a structural engineer and a services engineer and a developer and a construction company in Colombia, let's say, or Philippines or whatever, is going to somehow come together and having all the solutions in place to be able to achieve these benefits, that's not going to happen, okay? Because they have to go through the same steps as we did in the UK. And I think that's wildly unfair. So what we need to do, and this is the collective responsibility we have, I think that since we have gone through the hurdles, we are very lucky to live where we are living. And we had opportunities to have money thrown at us so we can spend time developing things and coming up with solutions and seeing kind of the bigger picture of and finding evidence for how to improve things. I think now that what we collectively needs to do is to enable these emerging economies to jump on the same bandwagon as we are on. So reducing cost and reduce waste, but by utilizing technology and process and standards. And okay, that sounds very noble, but it's not that easy, because a lot of things that have been developed over the years is very much off-the-shelf type of solutions. And these solutions need to be delivered in a certain way. So this is bigger than just digitalization. Digitalization is kind of the overarching solution to things, but we can't just take a box of digital transformation or digital construction and go into an office and saying, here's the digital construction, now everything is fine. That's what we did in the UK back in 2016 with BIM Level 2. Huge waste of money, but we learned a lot in that process. But it was a lot of money wasted as well, yeah. And these emerging economies, they can't afford that. So we need to be able to bring them ready-made solutions that is working for them, that is suitable for their local economy, okay? And here's where I think the problem is going to be. It's easy for a techie person to say, well, you just set up Navisworks and run clash detections on your Revit model. But there's lots of assumptions there that the softwares have been configured and we can use geo-coordination. There's all sorts of standards that need to be in place first before we can do that. But technically, we can set that up and have that running in no time. In like a couple of hours, we can have that up and running. So the technology is actually not the problem. The problem is the change management and the business operations of these organizations. So an architect is still just a business. An engineering practice is still just a business. And what they need to understand in these emerging economies, and even in the UK, is that all the problems are not going to be resolved just because we are using the term digital transformation or digital construction or BIM or ISO 19650. That doesn't really do anything. What we need to look at is saying, what is this specific business doing? Is a specific architect doing specific type of buildings with this number of people and these type of problems and this type of experience? There's loads of factors we need to take into account. And this is where business management comes in more than the technology side. Yeah? And then we need to say, okay, based on these factors that we know, what is the suitable pool of resource that this business needs so they can make incremental improvements without rocking the boat too much with the business, so they have a change management issue on their hand and people start leaving. Small changes that doesn't feel threatening to the people in the business, the employed staff, the project teams, but still make enough change so the business is improving and they can start to see evidence of reduced cost and reduced waste and so on and increased profit margins. That, to me, is the purpose of digital transformation, to look at the wider construction sector, not only where we live in our town or city or region, but globally, because it's going to affect all of us, and then enable businesses to adopt this with adequate and suitable solutions, not just flag-waving digital transformation or BIM. So, other than this worldly issue now with drought and migration and, you know, exporting digital construction, yada, yada, all of that. Okay, that's very important. But it's also a very big picture type of thing. And it's easy for me to sit here and say, yeah, all we have to do is just, you know, have some solution that is scalable in local economies across the globe. very easy to say those things, but it's not easy to actually achieve. But I think there are a couple of other things here now that is a little bit probably sensitive, to be honest. And that is the individual businesses. There is a tendency to be stuck in old ways of thinking. Okay, so when we launched into this whole BIM thing, you know, early 2000s, so BS 1192 was published 2007. Okay, that was the first kind of public document that was saying, this is where the industry is kind of going now. Prepare yourself to start to make changes in your business so we can start collaborate between organizations. Very, very soft, but very good in my opinion. Then it was a relatively forceful kind of push with BIM level 2. That was the kind of the beta version of digital construction and what would become digital construction and ISO 19650. But it was saying, okay, you have to do these specific things. You have to tick basically an academic type of exercise, tick these tick boxes to be compliant, but it was no real value. The problem here is that, and I think it's equally as an important issue to resolve as the global thing, because without resolving this local thing that we're dealing with right now, we're not really getting to where we need to get to in the time that we do need to get to the bigger understanding of digitalization and the global impact. And that is that, first of all, it's not easy for an architect to understand everything about the history of BIM and digitalization and BIM level 2 and ISO 19650. It's all very like muddy, and I can understand that. The problem is that with limited understanding of that whole structure of BIM, BIM level 2, BS 1192, PAS 1192, and then ISO 19650, with a limited understanding of what it actually means, and with a very effective marketing strategy from some software companies, you know, it has led the industry to have a view of BIM that is not practical and applicable. It's very good for making money, very, very good for making money. But increased profit margin is one of the things that we're trying to do, but it's not the main thing. That's the after effect of doing things correctly. And what I see a lot is business owners believing in, well, admitting that they don't understand the whole thing about BIM fully. And they have some understanding. And what they do understand is often very, very wrong. But they are basing their decisions on that knowledge. And there is heavy focus on the software being the center of attention, you know. And I can understand, I can see why that's happening, because marketing and influence and selective information, all that stuff, yeah. But that is causing problems, and it's causing problems to the extent where business owners are making decisions that are detrimental to their own organization, thinking that they're making the right decision. And the after effect is that they have mistakes and problems to resolve as a result of their decisions based on limited knowledge. And a lot of times, organization thinks, oh, there is some problem. Let's throw some more money at it. Let's hire these people. Let's expand it. Let's do all these things that seem to be the logical decision. But it's just causing more problems. I'm not going to go into more detail on that, but there is an educational issue here now. And I don't really know how that can be resolved. But I guess it's going to be a thing that's going to happen over time. But there's going to be mistakes made along that way. And for me to sit in meetings and see clients and hearing them, seeing them making decisions, and I can see what's going to happen, it's not a good position to be in. And you can't be too forceful about things as well. Yeah. So you have to be in diplomatic circumstances. So what do we do about that, except giving it time? Based on these larger picture things about global construction, digitalization, and then narrowing it down to individual organizations and the need for education in individual organizations, it's very important, I see, that we collectively trying to achieve a change of mind on how we see what digital construction is, what digital transformation is, and what that looks like. What it looks like depends on individual organizations' own journey. They're going to have some level of experience, and they're going to have certain problems depending on where they are. There's some milestones that I have discovered over the years where I kind of see the same thing repeating itself over and over again in different organizations. And the mindset that I think needs to happen collectively is that we have to stop looking at BIM as a solution. We do BIM, therefore it's going to be good, or this is BIM and this is not BIM, or this project should be BIM or this project should not be BIM. There's too much of that definite decision-making thing up front based on information that is usually not true or accurate. Instead, we need to step away from the whole BIM hype, and we need to just be business owners. And we're saying, okay, I have an architect practice and I have won this project. Now I'm going to deliver this project. How are we going to deliver this project? What resources are we going to apply? And now in today's world, we are going to use computers. We are going to use certain softwares. We are going to communicate with other stakeholders. The question is, what resources do we have to hand in our organization that can be utilized for this specific project? One day you might be working on house extension, and the next day you might be working on hospital. Two different types of project, different requirements. What you can't do is saying, this is BIM and this is not BIM, because in effect, what you're saying then is that this project, I don't care about reduced cost, reduced waste, reduced environmental impact, improved risk management, and increased profit margins. I don't care about that because this is not BIM. But this project, I do care about that. And that is just by applying a label onto something. And you're thinking, for this project, I don't need to have good drawing production, and I don't need schedules, and I don't need clash detections, and I don't need good communication. But you do. Everyone would agree to that. If you're putting it that way, everyone would say, it doesn't matter what the project is. I need to share data. I need to have a 3D model. I need to have drawings. I need to have schedules. I need to have all of these things. But it looks different for different projects. But you still need it. So what we need to have is to have a good, robust setup in the business that is suitable for that specific business and those specific projects that that business is involved in. And when the project is landing on the doorstep one morning, then you're saying, for me to deliver this project and reduce cost and reduce waste and so on for this project, I'm going to use that resource, and that resource. You know, you're selective from the pool of resources that you have, and you're saying, okay, now I'm going to deliver that project using this method, yeah? And for the other project, you're going to say, actually, this is a different project. Now I'm going to use that resource and these resources and this thing, and I'm going to deliver that project. And when you do your lessons learned for these two projects, you know, a few months, a couple of years down the line, hopefully you have the same outcome. Did you reduce cost? Did you reduce waste? Did you reduce environmental impact and so on? If you got those outcomes from those projects, then you did BIM, if you want to call it that. Then you utilized ISO 19650 as a foundation for your project, and you ran your business in a risk management aware state of mind. That is the transition that needs to happen. People don't need to be BIM level 2 compliant. They need to run their businesses appropriately for the time we're living in. Okay, so after saying all this, it might be difficult to kind of get what the key message is here, but I think there's a few things that each individual person or organization can do to kind of get in the right directions, to start making changes, to start to see effects of some change. And well, the first thing I'm going to say is what not to do. What not to do is to blindly buy into that you need to have BIM level 2 implementation or ISO 19650 implementation and investing in that as some sort of off-the-shelf box solution to your business. That is absolutely the wrong approach. Instead, what each organization and each business owner should focus on really is to ask yourself, what is it with your organization right now that is causing issues? Forget BIM, forget the software or digital or whatever. What is it with your business right now that is an issue? And it could be something that digital construction doesn't resolve. But if there are things like you're receiving 3D models and 3D models never line up when you link them together, meaning that you don't have a good coordination system. If that's the case, then that is causing issues with your design process. And That is something that should be addressed. And it doesn't have to be revolutionary. You don't have to have a list of 100 things to change. What is the one thing that you want to change in the next quarter that is going to make a difference to your organization? Address that. And then you're asking yourself, once you identify that, how long does it take to fix this issue? And who is going to do it? Do you have staff, in-house staff that can do things like that? Or do you have staff that, and they might not be available? Do you need to hire someone, or do you need to employ someone? Do you need to get a consultant in? Whoever is going to do this, you need to identify who is going to do it. How long is it going to take? Who is going to do it? And how much is it going to cost? And then you're asking yourself, if I'm fixing this one thing that I know causing issues for my business right now, and it doesn't take an unreasonable amount of time, and it doesn't cost that much money, I don't know what that means, but you know, it needs to be some sort of related to the issue that's causing issues on your business. If it doesn't cost that much money, it doesn't take that much time, and we have someone that can do it, and it fixes an issue in the business, and because you don't revolutionizing the whole organization, you're just doing this one little change, change management is probably not going to be a problem for you. If you can have positive answers to all of those questions, then you should go ahead and do that change. And then when you've done one change, then you ask the next thing. What's the next thing I can do? And if you make four changes in 1 year and you have a 0.5 increase on your profit margins, that's worth it. Okay, lots of information. And these are my thoughts about what's going on in the construction industry. This is why I'm getting out of bed in the morning. And if you want to continue this discussion or get in touch, you can reach me through my website, ddcsolutions.co.uk. Thank you very much for listening to this first episode of the Building a Digital Future podcast. This topic is something that is really, really important for me. If you like this, please click the follow button to keep up to date with future episodes, and don't forget to rate, review, and share. Thank you.